Today's reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 47. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to speak your word to your people here at St. Mary's Maidenhead. And Lord, now I just pray that you will cultivate our hearts and our minds for your word. And that, Father, you will speak through me words of encouragement, but also words that challenge your people to be faithful to you, but also to focus on you, Jesus, our Lord and Messiah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me say, it's really good to be here again at St. Mary's Maidenhead. I think I've been here for most of the other services, but this is the first time I'm coming for a very special service such as this, a 6:30 service. So thank you for inviting me here, and thank you for turning up tonight to listen to me, but also to support those who are being baptized and confirmed this evening. I just want to speak a few words from our reading tonight, which was Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 47, and you can find that on page 1094 of the Church Bibles. So we're now here in Acts chapter 2, and just before we get to this point of Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Jesus has been carried up into heaven. A new apostle has been chosen to replace Judas. The Holy Spirit has come. The day of Pentecost has come. And now the church has been born. And Peter is speaking to the people of God, the followers and believers, followers of Jesus Christ. And people are quite nervous. There's a bit of confusion. People aren't quite sure what to do. And so Peter is explaining to them, "I've just seen this Jesus. Things are happening very quickly." And so Peter is trying to explain to them how to lay a proper foundation for the church. So you could say that what we read in this passage is really a picture of the foundation of the Christian church. And here we see the kind of things that are important to them, the kind of things that need to be important to us if we are to remain faithful to Jesus Christ. And so the first thing that Peter tells these people who followers of Jesus Christ, the first thing that Peter says to them is that they need to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Messiah. We see that in verse 36. He says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." Seems a very simple point. In our world today, here in England, this is something we have sort of forgotten. We want to be church, but we really don't want Jesus to be Lord and Messiah of our lives. We don't want to submit to Jesus. We don't want to allow Jesus to run our lives. We don't want Scripture to rule our lives. We want to be church, but we want to have church in our own way. Peter tells them, really, the starting point for any Christian journey is to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Messiah. Small point, but very important point. Unless you make Jesus your Lord and Messiah, you really haven't begun your journey as a Christian. You shouldn't even call yourself a Christian. Nowadays, we see people who are not prepared to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Messiah, but still want to call themselves Christians. I think God should give us all the courage to say to these people, you are not Christian. Call yourself something else, but you're not a Christian if you do not acknowledge the Lordship and the Messiah, Jesus Christ as your Messiah. That's the first thing that Peter says to them. That's the first block of the foundation of the Christian church, that Jesus is Lord and Messiah. And it's a little confusing to them at that point. They're not quite sure how to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Messiah because they've had many things, a lot of things are happening. And so they go on to say to him in verse 37, he says, when the people heard this, had Peter say to them that they should make Jesus Christ their Lord and Messiah, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter is very clear in his response in verse 37 to 38. He says, Peter replied, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance, something that we struggle with again. Many of us want to be Christians, but want to continue in our sin still. You see a lot of that in our church today here in England, where people want to be Christians. They want to be part of the church, but are not prepared to repent. They want to continue in their life as if nothing has happened, as if nothing has changed. But Peter says very clearly to them that if you're really going to travel this journey, then you want to repent. You want to ensure you repent. And repenting is not something you do once and forget about it. It's something we need to do continuously. And then he says to them, you need to be baptized to show that you have repented, to testify to those around us that we have repented indeed. And then he says, when you repent and you baptize, you then receive forgiveness of your sins. But he says something else as well that happens to you when you repent and are baptized and you receive your forgiveness. He says you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I look at my fellow Anglicans and I think they don't believe they have the Holy Spirit. You look at them walking around in fear and in nervousness, not prepared to even believe that the Holy Spirit exists. But the Bible thus says to us, and Peter says very clearly here, that if you repent and are baptized and are forgiven of your sins, that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This gift, remember, is what Jesus promises them will come when he has to go to heaven, and then the Holy Spirit will come. And the Holy Spirit has come, and therefore we receive it when we are baptized, when we repent of our sins, and when we receive forgiveness. We are given this gift almost like an extra, an additional something that you get when you turn your life to Jesus Christ, when you repent of your sins. In Africa, everybody talks about the Holy Spirit, but here in England, you have to sort of drag it out of people. You have to suck it out of them. And some of us think that when you say that you believe that there's a Holy Spirit, that somehow you've lost your mind. You haven't lost your mind. If you have repented of your sins and you've been forgiven and you've been baptized and you have made Jesus Christ your Lord and Messiah, you can be sure that you have the Holy Spirit of God. Even if you do not speak in tongues, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. That is a gift that will sustain you in your walk. That is a gift that will help you be a strong Christian wherever you go. That is a gift that will help you to be bold wherever you are. And then Peter says to them that this story, this statements, these things he's saying to them, are to be shared with everybody, beginning with their children, with their neighbors, with all the tribes and all the nations. Look at what he says in verse 39. He says, this promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And that says to me that far off is beyond maidenhead. Everywhere else, all the way to Africa, to Australia, wherever you might want to think of, this message will be carried, should be carried to all those people wherever they are. That's why mission partners are very important. People who want to take this gospel far away beyond our local churches. But see what happens when we accept the power of the Holy Spirit and when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and to strengthen us and to guide us. See what happens in verse 40 to 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to their number that day. One day. Some of us go to churches that have never seen somebody give their life to Jesus. So when one person says, I have decided to follow Jesus Christ today, we're all shocked. And we think, do you know of any psychiatrist or any mental place that we can recommend for this particular person because they've given their life to Jesus? What kind of madness is that? But when the Holy Spirit is moving, and when we allow the Holy Spirit to empower us and to be present, amazing things happen. 3,000 people in one day. There was a time I read a while ago that there were more people in England who smoked cannabis than came to the Church of England on a Sunday morning. That is scary, isn't it? We need a bit of this. Just a little dose of this Holy Spirit that will then empower us to reach out to more than 3,000 people. There's more than 3,000 people in Maidenhead that need to hear about the love of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done for them. And then Peter continues. Remember, he's building a foundation. He's guiding this early church. And he says to them in verse 42, this is what the fellowship of believers ought to be doing. He says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. These are the kind of activities that strengthen us as Christians, that keep us faithful, that help us run this Christian race with confidence and with focus. The apostles' teaching, fellowship together, whether you want to call that home group or life groups. The breaking of bread, which is remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, his death on the cross, his shedding of the blood on his cross, and prayer. Talk to God. Talk to Jesus. Bring all your challenges. Bring all your joys to Jesus. This is what Christians do. Nothing to be embarrassed about. Nothing to be scared. Talk to God. Talk to Jesus. And then he goes on to say the other thing that they do is that they're good stewards of what God has provided for them. Good stewards. We talk about good stewardship. And every time you have a stewardship campaign, your vicar or your pastor will tell you to give. They'll urge you to give. They'll plead with you to give. They'll beg you to give. They'll almost threaten you to give in order to give. But listen to what's going on in verse 44 to 45. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Can you imagine? Can you imagine people selling their houses in order to come and provide for those in need in this church? I think you'd call that madness, wouldn't you? But this is the kind of attitude they had, that they're not prepared to see their brothers and sisters in need when they have plenty, that when God has blessed them with plenty. To be a good steward means that whatever God has blessed you with, you use that to glorify his name, to lift them, to tell other people about Jesus Christ. God blesses you in order for you to bless others and to honor his name and to ensure that his mission continues and grows. So you need to be a good steward. This is what happens to every one of us when we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. The Holy Spirit makes us, inspires us to make Jesus our number one, inspires us to be good stewards of God's provision to us. And then he goes on to tell us how they met together, they ate together with sincere hearts. When is the last time that you invited somebody from church for lunch after church? When is the last time you invited somebody for a cup of tea just to enjoy their company, just to encourage each other? How many of us belong to a home group or fellowship group where you just come to eat together, to pray together, to study God's word together? This is what these Christians are doing. This is what Peter is telling them they need to do in order to continue on this path, in order to grow a church that is strong and focused on Jesus Christ. So my prayer for St. Mary's Maidenhead, and especially for these candidates today who are being baptized and confirmed, that you look at this picture of the early church and ask yourself, what are the important things that you want to do? And they're right here in front of us. Jesus, Lord and Messiah. Make Jesus your Lord and Messiah. Make use of the gift of the Holy Spirit that will come upon you when you're baptized today. Share this good news with those around us. Focus on the apostles' teaching, God's word. Consume it. Have a passion for God's word. Fellowship. Pray together. Be a good steward. And may the Lord bless us all. Amen.